We're just normal men.
What do you mean, normal men?
We're just innocent men.
Welcome to the Red Ass Podcast, your home for Aggie sports, barbecue, music, and much more. And now your hosts, Rob White and Roy May.
Alrighty guys, welcome back to the Red Ass Podcast. Today is Tuesday, January 7th, 2025. We have made it to the next year, finally.
Happy New Year! Yeah, I was thinking about this actually earlier today, because we're still, you know, just a few days, you know, or a weekend, and people are still screwing up, you know, what year it is. And it dawned on me that I'm old, because I remember one of the biggest pains in the butt about the calendar turning was remembering to write the proper year on your checks.
Every single time.
Yeah. So for those of y'all who have written checks in your life, you'll know what I'm talking about. But I mean, it used to be you used checks everywhere. There was no debit card. You know, it was either cash or check. So I was always putting the wrong number on it and like having to rip up three or four checks in the first week or two of the new year.
Like, damn it. Well, I am Rob White, fighting Texas Aggie class of 2014.
And I am Roy May, fighting Texas Aggie class of 2015.
And yeah, I just wanted to kick this whole thing off with pretty simple topic. Number one, how was your holidays? How did everything go?
Oh man, I had a great Christmas and New Year. You know, it's such a slow time for my industry, so it's a great time to recharge, quite frankly. You know, not like the holidays or the vacations you take for spring break or over the summer where you get back and you feel like you need a week to recharge because you like blew all your energy on vacation. So it was great, you know, great couple of weeks to be able to, you know, still take care of some business stuff, but really lean into the new year as far as my business plan's concerned. And, but then obviously just spend time with friends and family. Every year we wake up, do Christmas, and then we roll down to my folks' house down in spring. And my sister lives down in Houston, so they kind of come meet us and, you know, we get to see them. But I had a great Christmas with the kiddo, had fun Friendsmas. New Year's Eve was great. You don't ever have to worry about me getting in trouble on New Year's Eve because I'm always at the house.
Fair.
But I got some really great gifts. I, you know, got to give some really cool gifts too. So it's just kind of, I love Christmas. I love the holidays. It's always a bummer on Saturday. We put it all up. It's always a bummer when I put all the Christmas stuff away, but I'm realizing each year that it turns out my attic is shrinking. It's not that I have too much Christmas stuff. So I'm fairly certain my attic is shrinking. So I'm going to have to bring in a structural engineer, because obviously it's not me and buying new Christmas stuff, because there's no way that
must be it. Absolutely.
Well, can't be me.
No, never could. What was your favorite Christmas present that you got?
Oh man. So probably a tie. Well,
okay.
Probably a three-way tie, because my daughter is hilarious. So she got me two t-shirts. One of them says awesome like my father, or awesome like my daughter.
Nice.
So like it was hilarious. It just says awesome like my daughter. It's hilarious. That's my daughter's sense of humor to a T. But she got me an Aggie Dad t-shirt. You know, I didn't want to buy one until she bought me one. So that's, you know, that's special. And then I asked for a pasta maker for Christmas for my parents. And I asked for, it's called Imperia. And so it's the one that literally Italians use. That's how I looked it up and came to the conclusion that I wanted an Imperia pasta maker. And so, yeah, my folks got it for me. A couple nights ago, I made my first batch of pasta, made my first, you know, homemade sauce. My big thing is I don't do resolutions per se, but I never want to buy pasta again. And they got me like kind of the tricked out version of it too. So I can do a lot of different kinds of pastas. Mm-hmm. I can even do raviolis with it. And so I made the first batch and it was absolutely killer. I've never had pasta that good before. Granted, I've never been to Italy, so there's that. But just fresh made pasta and that sauce that I had to cook for like 3 hours. There was simmer for 3 hours.
Right.
And so that's kind of like my exciting thing moving forward. That's not a resolution for this year. That's like a resolution for the rest of my life, is I want to make all my own sauces and I want to make all my own pastas.
You know, it's so hard to beat good homemade Italian food. It really is outstanding.
And my dad got me like a box of the proper flours to use as well. So my first batch was made by, you know, the proper triple or double zero flour. Yeah. I did a San Marzano tomato, sauce with garlic and basil in it. Like it was just like now I have no just like even if I didn't want to after that first batch that I made, I have no desire to ever buy store-bought pasta again. Like that's bonkers. Not to mention it's kind of fun. Like
Oh,
you
yeah.
feel very you have that rustic feeling, you know, to making your own pasta. It's just a it's such a simple process. It's like making tortillas, but like it's there's a true amount of love to it. I mean, you got to knead it for about like 8 to 10 minutes after you kind of get everything put together, and there's kind of a touch to it, learning if you've got it right before you start. So it's just I'm really excited. You know how I love to cook.
Oh,
And
yeah.
speaking of that, don't let me forget to plug something before we get off today. In lieu of like the cooking thing, like
Yeah.
pertaining to cook,
Yeah.
not in lieu of.
We will do our plugs as we normally do. I'll
Yeah.
remind you.
So how about you? Oh, and well, New Year's Eve was great. Hey, you had a great
Yeah.
time, New Year's Eve.
And so, and well, I did have one final question on this, but being, what was your favorite gift that you gave? And was it a good reaction?
Oh man. Well, I'll start with a couple. I'm gonna go kind of around like what I gave, but also some great gifts that I saw given, right?
Oh, yeah. And that's fine too.
So here at the house, my daughter in passing at some point in 2024 had said she wanted a pogo stick. So Megan, like months before Christmas, ordered super heavy duty pogo stick. And it's one of those things where you mention it in passing, and by the time Christmas gets to you, you forgot that you ever asked for it, right?
Right, yeah.
And so she opened it up and she was like freaking out. It was hilarious. It was like watching, you know, kids get Nintendos back in the day, right?
Like, oh my
Yeah.
God.
Yeah, just because she forgot about it. So that was a really awesome gift. I gave my mother something kind of special, kind of as it pertains to music. You know, she's a music teacher.
Yeah.
And when my granddaddy passed away years ago, there was I went to the Christian bookstore and they had a bunch of these canvases that were, I don't know, like 14 by 20 something. And it was the sheet music for each of these hymns. But it was like you would find it in a hymn book. It had the words with it and the verses and everything. And I found one of the songs or one of the hymns that was sung at her dad's is her dad's funeral. And so it's kind of this big, like we laugh about it because my mom's just an absolutely special and beautiful woman. She's emotional. And so whoever makes grandma cry at Christmas wins Christmas.
Right.
And not that we intentionally do it. Last year, she busted out crying because my daughter gave her an Aggie Grandma t-shirt. Like, so it's not, you know, it's not like the quality of gift. It's the thought kind of thing with my mom.
Absolutely.
And then my favorite thing that I was able to give to everybody was just gifts from my Scotland trip.
Yeah,
So
that's
like, you know, everybody getting to open up their Scotland, you know, their open, kind of regalia. And then my brother-in-law, my sister in Houston, my brother-in-law, so the one that was there, he's not a golfer. He didn't want anything from the open, which is great because that stuff's not cheap. But I know he's a Scotch drinker. So when we were in Edinburgh, I went to a Scotch shop and, cause that's just a thing.
oh, yeah.
Man, I had to like tell him, I was like, look, no more free samples. I'm not a Scotch guy. I'm gonna be hammered walking around the streets. But I walked in there and I said, hey, point me to one that you can't get in the States. You know,
Yeah.
I want something that cannot be just they absolutely do not distribute to the States. And so I found one. So he was super excited about that. So I know he really loves, you know, kind of enjoying a couple fingers of scotch every once in a while. Yeah, I mean, I gave a lot of gift cards. Sometimes it's just like my daughter asked for a Kroger gift card, which, you know, a college kid asking for something like substantial and realistic is amazing, right?
Absolutely.
And then, you know, I don't pick sizes for my wife. I mean, I know sizes for simple stuff, but yeah, my wife got a dehydrator, which apparently she really wanted a dehydrator. She's already been working with it.
Cool.
I think she wants to make all her own beef jerky, so we're gonna learn that apparently in the next month or so.
There you go.
But yeah, so some exciting things are afoot in the May family kitchen. I'll put it that way.
Cool.
And you know, I'm getting older. I'll be 46 this year, and I'm the youngest of three, and so it's you know, I think you just really cherish, you know, those holidays more and more, you know, as you realize that the years are just kind of going by, right? And so, you
Correct.
know, being able to be down at my folks' house and you know, be with my mom and dad and you know, go down there and enjoy a meal and have him read the story of Jesus' birth out of the Bible, the old family Bible. It's a honker, man. So it's just special to be able to do that over the holidays, absolutely. And then, you know, you combine that with just the joy that I get during the holidays. You know, I love seeing the Christmas lights and just everybody seems a little bit more upbeat. I know the holidays can be a beating, but like I even physically went to the mall a handful of times this year. Yeah, well, I don't ask, man. but I still kind of love that a little bit, you know. It's just like the
Sure.
spirit of being in the mall. And the malls aren't packed like they used to be, so it's completely normal.
Yeah, it's fair.
You can just go shop. But yeah, man, it just a great holiday, and I'm glad that the weather, you know, stayed nice until the last couple of days, which
Yeah.
is standard for us here in the Brazos Valley. You know, winter weather doesn't come until January, February, but when it does, it kind of kicks you right in the nose. But you can't feel it, which is a nice thing because your nose is frozen. So there's that.
That's true.
All right. So did you do a lot of traveling? Like, did you go to New Mexico?
Oh my God. Yeah. So we go out and we play out at Green Hall on the 21st of December. And honestly had ourselves a really good crowd for December 21st. I figured it would be kind of light just with it at a leading into Christmas, but we still put like 600 something people in the building, which was really nice. We did get to do our special encore singing Robert Earl Keen, Merry Christmas from the Family. And the way we set it up was every single member of the band got at least part of a verse or a verse to sing in the song. And that was kind of fun. So I got to sing the second verse after Carson sings the first.
Nice.
Carson got to do the second chorus. And then third verse, Kyle and Travis both split in half and sang. And then we had Randy Hoyt, our opener, he came up on stage and sang the last chorus, and we all just kind of sang it out together to the crowd, and it was great reactions. And honestly,
That's
just a,
awesome.
yeah, really good show. Traveled back up to New Mexico, first stopping in Lubbock. We spent a couple days there with my little brother and his wife. We actually did Christmas morning festivities on the 23rd, because they both work over Christmas, and that's always a bit of a struggle, joys of being a nurse. But we had them both available on the 23rd, which also happened to be mom's birthday. So,
Oh.
yeah, so it worked out that mom got birthday stuff out of the way. Then we gave her Christmas stuff. Everything was good on that front. In answer to, same questions, when I was giving out gifts, the one that I was really looking forward to seeing the reaction on was mom and dad in particular. So, the Funko Pop figures that you see around, they actually set up for a Funko Pop this year that you could customize to look just
Oh.
like whoever. And guess what? The individual ones are like $30. The
Oh,
duo
dude,
is,
that's nothing. That's a
and
no-brainer.
the duo was 60, so you could put them both in the same box for $60.
It's a no-brainer.
So here's what I did. I made dad, I made mom. I made sure they were both wearing something comfortable with flip-flops because they're down at the beach. Mom's holding a plant because she's been doing her gardening, and she's holding a coffee because she loves coffee. Dad, on the other hand, he's got a pair of tongs. Dad's got a pair of tongs, and he has a whole tray of sushi because he loves sushi. And then,
Right. Oh.
as an additional little deal, you could have dogs or pets or whatever. And I found two that look just like their dogs. And so they have both dogs, them, the whole shebang. It was just, and they were like, "Oh, this is so fun." I'm like, "T," because they had said from the get-go that they didn't really want much in terms of Christmas presents this year. So I said, "I'm gonna go find something for them." So
Yeah.
that was nice to see. As far as gifts for myself, the big one that I was really looking forward to, and I'm glad I got it, was a 5'11 backpack. So real nice, sturdy travel backpack, something I could have
Yeah.
on the road. And it's good for, carrying ammunition or other things along those lines, but I've been using it for travel, and so
No,
far,
they're sturdy. Yeah, those are sturdy bags. 5'11 makes good stuff.
yeah, they do. And I really wanted one of those backpacks. Glad I got it. So we've got that going for us.
You reminded me. I totally forgot to ask for a new backpack.
Yeah, I needed one this year, and I'm really glad I got a
Yeah.
hold of it.
Yeah, I need a new assault pack that's not as big as what I needed in country.
Fair.
It's a bit of a lug to put a laptop in, put a
Yeah.
laptop and a human being in there, basically. I
Right. And
mean, I've heard, so I've heard, so I've heard.
that's the beauty of this backpack. Yeah, but just so many different options on it, which was cool. My friend Ashley got me a Christmas present, the coolest Christmas present, I would say, of the whole shebang.
Gonna say it's got to be a
Because,
vinyl. Oh, wow. Nice.
Yes, and for those not watching, it is Gunfighter Ballads and Trail Songs from Marty Robbins on vinyl, original print. Oh, it sounds amazing. I've been playing it last few days, no complaints. It sounds
There you go.
awesome. I've been looking for that vinyl for a really long time, and really, really glad I got a hold of it. I can find the hole. There it is. All right, and we're good. As far as the rest of the break, on New Year's Eve, we had a special show. We actually went up to the Fort Worth Coliseum at the Cowtown Coliseum, just south of Billy Bob's,
Yeah.
at right Fort Worth Stock Exchange, Stock Exchange, the Exchange Street. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I got
And what was really cool was we go play this arena. They have bull rides, bronc rides, doing bullfighting games and stuff in the meantime. But Wynn Williams kicks off the show, did a great job. Then they did a bull ride, buck ride in the middle. While we were transitioning, we come up to play our set. We play a 60-minute, hour-long set, and it truly was one of the best shows we've ever played, just in terms of our ability and the reaction we were getting from the crowd. It was a really cool experience because you're talking 3,000 people in this building, completely full, and they are just screaming, ripping, and roaring for our music. And the crazy part was a lot of these people are not from Texas. We're talking Ohio, New Hampshire, Massachusetts,
Oh.
Brazil, Honduras, Canada. Because a lot of people, when they come down to Texas, just to visit, whether it's for New Year's or whatnot, a rodeo is something they want to go see. And
They
that's a
want to go do
rodeo.
Texas things.
Right. And that's a rodeo that happens virtually every night. So why not? So we went out
Yeah.
and played it. It was a good time. I had made great impressions. It was a lot of fun. So we spent our New Year's Eve up there, came back down here, and then we played one show down in Houston at Armadillo Palace. And it was one of those deals where pre-show, we were like, ooh, 28 pre-sales. And my parents were like 10 of them. This could be a slow night. And then we had a ton of walk up, bunch of crazy stuff. And all of a sudden, we had like 250 some odd people in the building. So it was cool to see that transition of growth just on a day on, for a day show.
That's
But
really awesome.
yeah, so we kind of wrapped that up. And then in addition to that, I've just been busy this past week working on new merch ideas, put together a couple of posters, and then actually working with a couple of people outside of the organization to make some posters. Like I already got contacted by the city of Livernia. They're getting ready to do their 4th of July bash. They said, "We really like what you've made and would love for you to make a poster for us." I said, "I can do that."
Yeah, as of yesterday, we're all back to the grind, man.
We are. And we're not the only ones back to the grind. Sports are back on the grind around these parts, aren't they?
Yeah, it's getting there. I would guess that baseball and softball have reported. I feel like they generally report a week early going into the spring. And obviously basketball's been going at it since, mid-November. With the basketball overlap to football. But yeah, so some exciting stuff happening in Aggieland with sports. Baseball and softball are still ways away, quite frankly. And I know it seems like it's right around the corner, but the reality is right now we're in the middle of basketball season. And I want to start with the women who had what I thought was a kind of a disappointing non-conference, quite frankly. We're all kind of waiting for Joanie to get the page turned, and she doesn't seem to be able to get it turned, quite frankly, in the non-conference. And then you open up and you play Tennessee, and I mean, it's Tennessee, right? The Lady Vols, and Tennessee did what you kind of expected Tennessee to do. And then, your very next game, you get to play Ole Miss, who's a ranked team. Women's basketball is no different than men's when it comes to the strength of the conference. So it's a gauntlet all year long. You get number 25 coming to town, and you're down, and you're down, what, 12 or something? Yeah,
16.
no, 16 going
16
to the
points.
16 points going to the fourth quarter, and they just find a way to win and play kind of lockdown defense, which is reminiscent of what we see on the men's side. And they're able to put up enough points and pull a game out. It's a top 25 win, and so it's kind of like the dichotomy of the non-conference and the Tennessee game, but then you see what happens with with the Ole Miss game, and so I think we're probably still in wait and see mode with the women, because just if you step back and look at so far the results as a whole, I think it's fair to be like, look, that's a great win. It's not a program changing win, but that's a notch in the program. That's a feather in the cap when you think about how long it's been with the top 25 win, all this other stuff. And the comeback, made it great, obviously. The comeback and just the clamp down defense. And it's my favorite. I hear this on the women and men's side all the time. Well, they were just missing shots. Well, a lot of times you miss shots because the defense is good. So you can't just say, well, look at their shooting percentage and things like that. Cause I just hear this, the men's and women's game. They were shooting like crap. Well, a lot of times you can make people shoot like crap.
Right, contested shots are a thing.
Yeah, contested shots, rotating on time, if not early, playing tough down in the paint. And so I won't call it a program changing moment just yet, because again, I still think I'm in wait and see. But you can't overlook how big of a win that was, because you've got a roster that's finally healthy, is what it finally seems like. It's been like a year and a half since he's had a healthy roster. And they're able to put it together, and not only put it together, but do it in a fashion where it proves to you that you can win. And we've talked about this in all sports, right? Sometimes you have to learn how to win. I think we talked about this with Buzz a couple of years ago, two, maybe 3 years ago, just crappy non-conference. But sometimes you got to get these athletes to understand what it feels like to win games, right? That winning culture, that winning mentality that if you're down, that has nothing to do with the outcome of the game. And so, we've seen that plenty out of the men's team is way ahead of the women's team as far as, kind of a winning culture in that. But I really, really want Joni to get it figured out. And maybe that was the first step, kind of in a long journey, but that's an awful big step.
Well,
So you got a lot of.
I'm looking at the stats here, and something I found really fascinating about this game was seeing the turnaround that took place in the second half of this matchup. I mean, you did have A&M come out and largely got outscored in the first half, and both quarters got outscored by a significant amount. But you turn around and you outscore Ole Miss 15-11 in the third to cut the lead a bit, right? But then you locked it down in the fourth quarter. You scored 20 points to their six. And
Yeah,
that was a,
four quarter was nuts.
yeah, and that was enough to get you over the top. And when it comes to the games like this, sometimes you need that get right in your head to remember how to win thing or learn how to win thing. And this is a number 25 team in the country. Ole Miss is not a bad basketball team. So when
No.
you it's like when you can beat Ole Miss, that's a confidence boost. Granted, when you're looking at the upcoming schedule, then all of a sudden things get a little more hairy, right? I mean, you've got South Carolina on the road, number two team in the country, and then you're going to be on the road at Oklahoma, who's currently number 10, before you're back in the friendly confines on the 16th. It's just a gauntlet.
Yeah, like we said, on both sides of it, men and women in the SEC, basketball is no joke. But it's just one of those things where, and we don't expect the men to go out and win, to go out and win every game in conference, right? I mean,
Right.
that's like asking a baseball team to go undefeated. It's, I mean,
Just
it's
not
wishful.
feasible.
It's wishful thinking. It's all it ends up, turn into. But that's a big win. I mean, if you're the 25, if you're the 25th team ranked team in the country, that puts you around a six seed. All right. So you basically just beat a six, seven seed, maybe an eight seed. And so it's something to build on. And there's probably a million different layers you can really build on, because it's not just beating a top 25 team. It's doing it at home. It's being behind, realizing that you can come back. It's playing defense. It's playing offense. And so there are so many things that they can take from that game. My biggest, not, I don't want to say biggest fear. My question would be, are you able to put that one in the vault and start absolutely fresh with the next game? And it's funny you bring up South Carolina. I saw something the other day. Oh, what's her name? The head coach. I can see her face clear as day. But they were interviewing her. I don't know why I can't remember her name right now. She's one of the greatest coaches to ever do it, basically. But they were interviewing her, and she just straight up said, she's talking about her team, and she was like, "We don't have anybody."
Don Staley.
Dawn Staley, thank you. She's like, "We don't have anybody right now that could start on a WNBA roster." Like, she just flat out said it. Now, does that mean they're not the number two team in the country? Oh, no. She's an amazing coach, and until she leaves, South Carolina is going to continue to be one of the top four teams in the country every year. But I thought that was interesting. So it's what can you build on this, right? And are we expecting to beat South Carolina? Well, no, not necessarily expecting to beat them. And I hope the team is. I hope the team expects to beat them. I hope the team isn't saying, "Hey, keep it close." But you go back to back on the road to really difficult and environments, to really talented teams. There are things that I can glean from that because it's still early in conference play. I can glean some good things from losses. It's not, I don't believe in moral victories, but there are things you can take away from losses that you can apply, further into the season. But this is only because it's early, man. It's only because it's early in the season. Get a handful more games into it, we're going to know who this team is. But I want to get past South Carolina and OU and at least get back and read before I kind of start
And I,
assessing it a little more deeply.
I'll tell you this much. If we find a way, so these next two games are ninth and the 12th. So this week, if A&M finds a way to, like, if the women find a way to split this 1-1 on the road, that's a big win, I think, for this program.
That
Go for it.
if they can split this, they and I don't care which way, quite frankly, because both teams are so good. And maybe Dawn Staley is right. Maybe there is a little bit of ranking bias in the sense that maybe South Carolina isn't the number two team in the country. I mean, not to say that they're not top 10, but maybe OU's better. So again, because it's still early in the season, and I know that it's not like they haven't played anybody, but I think South Carolina, like Alabama in football, gets the benefit of the doubt when it comes to rankings, and deservedly so. But you know what? I'm whatever, because in basketball, it don't matter because everybody's got to play. You got to win the last game, right? And you got to play a bunch of games in between now and then to do it. But at the end, you got to win four or five in a row.
And they are, 14-1 on the season. They've largely looked great in every game they've played, and they've won a lot of games. It's what they do well. So, there is that bias, but it's a justified bias this year for them.
Well, if she's accurate about her talent, then that should even further concrete her status as one of the greatest to ever do it. I mean, if she's being honest about it, not trying to do that to motivate her players or, because how sometimes, the coach speak kind of crap can go on. And if that's the truth, then by the end of the season, she'll have the best team in the country because they will have gelled so much because she's that good of a coach. But it's
Development
one
is
game at
so crazy. It's so
a time.
crazy to see a team like that can develop and get good. I mean, I look back, I know this is a slight off topic, but let's look at another great, one of the great coaches of all time. Let's look at Nick Saban. Okay. There in the early 2010s, when he got to Alabama and started winning those national titles, was he running around with a Heisman Trophy winning quarterback or even quarterbacks that were starting in the NFL? No. Absolutely not. What was he doing? He was developing top level running backs, developing top level talent, and really, yes, getting those guys, but then advancing them to that next level. And they ended up being so good. It just works. And if you got that kind of program set up, which South Carolina for their women's basketball clearly does, it's just going to keep on rocking and rolling as long as they're sticking around.
Well, in South Carolina baseball was the same way.
Oh yeah, no question. They've been
They
a
had it
solid
rolling.
program for years.
Yeah, they had it rolling.
Oh yeah.
So we'll move over to the men's side. I
Let's do it.
mean, how many superlatives can you throw out there right now for this team? They are an absolute blast to watch. We talked about it in the non-conference stuff. That Oregon loss is looking more and more kind of like meh. Like our two losses actually don't look real great.
No.
But if you look at the conference schedule, man, it's nothing but Q1 and Q2. That's all there is on our
Right.
schedule. So it is going to be an absolute nightmare of a schedule.
Well,
But you.
it's funny because we've talked about for years how much our non-con was the reason we weren't making it to the field.
It was detrimental to us.
Right. It was detrimental to us. All of a sudden, the SEC is so good this year that it literally didn't matter, even though we went out and scheduled a bunch of big names. It's just, we decided to give ourselves the gauntlet this year
Yeah, we'll bet.
in a lot of ways.
But if you think about what we've seen at a non-conference year after year after year, right? Because he started off and it was like, play everybody that's crap, learn how to win basketball games, and we'll just kind of go on from there. It's built a little bit year over year. But also what he's done is he's built this program to where he had the confidence to schedule this kind of non-conference schedule, knowing that he expected to perform pretty well. And quite frankly, well, obviously they did. And then coming, starting off conference play at home before the students get back, a lot of concern about, how many SIFs are going to show up. Now it's time to play in conference. This is a rivalry renewed, blah, 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 right? And Texas, look, Texas is a talented basketball team. Texas is another one of those programs who, I mean, they have down years, but they don't have a ton of them. And this is not a bad Texas team. And after, what I thought was an enjoyable first half, quite frankly, is like tight knit, like tight game.
Competitive.
He's super competitive. I think it all of a sudden you started to see the gap in the second half of how we were able to pull away. And the most impressive thing to me is to do it basically without number four. Like number four had an incredibly pedestrian night, but you got help from so many other people. And we saw this in some of the bigger non-conference games too, where it wasn't just four stepping up to just basically put the entire team on his back like he's had to do in past years. We have more contributors. Solo and Garcia are a year longer in the tooth. You've got Phelps, you got it just even Hefner showing up. It's just so you're seeing this team start to play as more of a team. And when you can do that and then also have four, that's who's clearly nursing an injury too. He's not even 100% healthy.
Well, and like we shot poorly from beyond the arc in that game. We frankly didn't have very good, we had a pretty decent field goal percentage, but you were only shooting, 10% from the 3-point where Texas was just going for it, going for it. Now, where we benefited was in rebounds. We benefited in creating turnovers
Wait,
and
we benefited in rebounds? No.
No, but we had a lot more rebounds than they did, and we had way less turnovers than they did. And just to make things even better, if you look at those first 5 minutes out the gate in the second half, that is a critical time in a basketball game. A&M opened up the floodgates, and you jump out to an 11-point lead right before the first 5 minutes are up. So, I mean, that right there completely set the tone for the rest of the matchup, and then we just pulled away at the end. And I mean, really, honestly, an impressive showing from our guys, despite it wasn't the best shooting night, especially from beyond the arc. But you still went out there and beat them by 20 points. And, in what was, for a lot of people, that's kind of a high pressure situation. You're playing the big rival, right? And you're in your mindset of like, okay, are they going to get in our heads here? Not in the second half.
Are we gonna get in our own heads?
Are we gonna Aggie this? Nope. You
No,
won.
that was a sound basketball game, competitive first half, and it's got to give you a ton of confidence for a team that just to make the tournament probably only needs seven conference wins. So you only need six more to make the tournament. That's what the bracketologists have been saying. Like if we get seven wins in conference, we'll be in the tournament.
And that's
So.
one. Good start.
So you got six more just to make the tournament. But right now you've got us moved in, I think Lenardi moved us up to a three seed.
We've been, I mean, three seed, we're already like we moved up to number 10 in the polls, number 9 in the coaches. And just to make it even more interesting, looking ahead of to our schedule now with Oklahoma. I mean, early predictors are liking us in this matchup, which love that. But
Well, we're rolling. I mean, how would you not?
I mean, you're at what, 8 straight wins? You're cruising.
Yeah, cruising, and it's not like those were eight straight patsies.
No, and on top of that, we kind of got a good visual for our next matchup past that with Alabama.
I mean, the last one was a Nancy, but that's different.
It's fine. It's fine.
From deep,
From
he
deep.
shoots, he scores. Yeah, so
Basketball.
there's no way to look at the schedule and say that it sets up favorably because there's just no favorable schedule. No matter, even if
No.
we change the schedule and play different teams, that I don't think there's anything necessarily favorable to it. What's favorable is the fact that they're always going to be like, ah, shit, here comes A&M. Like, this is the game on our schedule. And we've
Well,
become that team. We talked about this in baseball last year where we were looking at the schedule going, oh man, oh man. Then you have to realize they're like,
we are the all man, all man.
we're on the other side of it. And so it again, long way to go. But all the contributions from people not named Wade Taylor the fourth has been very encouraging. So
Absolutely.
I'm all in on Aggie basketball. I love what I see. I've been all in on Bud since he showed up here. I don't think I've ever wavered off of that.
Well, I think the thing I think is so funny is even like the Longhorns, like on Twitter that I was interacting with, kind of after the game, because we were doing something that night, playing a gig or whatever. No, we were playing a show, because that was Saturday night. We were at the Armadillo Palace down there in Houston. I get off stage and I had a couple of guys that knew me at the show that said, "Hey, do you see the A&M one against Texas?" I said, "No." He said, "Yeah, we beat them by like 20 points." I went, "Really?" So I went back and watched the highlights, and that was like, oh, sick. I mean, it is encouraging. I'm very excited for this team right now. And even looking ahead at our schedule, if you look at like the matchups we have coming up, I mean, really, yeah, you have definitely a couple of tough games. Obviously, playing Alabama, that'll be, of course, a home game. You got LSU at home, but then you're on the road at Kentucky. You don't get the return trip. On the flip side of that coin, though, number one and number two are on the schedule, but they're both at Reed. And that's big. I mean, we don't have to go to Auburn. We don't have to go to Tennessee. They're coming here.
And Auburn looks good.
Auburn
Tennessee,
looks real
man.
good.
Tennessee looks real good too. Zakai Ziegler is stupid.
But the
But
fact that both of them are coming to town, big deal. I like it.
well, you know what we're gonna get to see? Reed at its best.
Oh, yeah, right. I mean, finally, like rock and read, get to read. I mean, basketball's hype right now. I mean, even on the off week, like I said, with the off weekend when nobody was in town, hypothetically, we filled that arena. And they were loud and they were into the game. And I'm like, yes, that's what we need.
Yeah, and we said it plenty. Like, we're not a basketball school, but if basketball wins, boy, the 12th man will show. A 12th man will show up to anything if you're winning.
If you win, they will come here.
At 100%.
Yeah.
So I'm also excited about the crowds kind of moving forward. So yeah, there's hesitant excitement would be a good way
Yes.
to put it,
Yeah,
because
I.
I know it's going to get tough. There's going to be a stretch in conference
Right.
where it's going to feel like a bit of a beating.
I'm going to sprinkle in a little bit of rat poison here, just a little bit, because speaking of excitement, I mean, Perfect Game came out and released their first round of preseason polls for baseball, and they got A&M at the top of the mountain at the moment, which, considering the talent, yeah, I
We were
don't.
in the World Series, and we—I mean,
We lost a couple of pitchers.
yeah, that's kind of it. And so, yeah, Louis Belina has been talking about this week, because with the poll came out, he talked about it a couple of days. You can't be taken seriously as a college baseball outlet if your preseason rankings don't have A&M first or second.
Accurate. I mean, if you rank teams based on how you've ranked your teams in the past, which is where you look at what happened last year and largely apply it to what's going to start the year this year, you cannot look at this Texas A&M roster. You can't look at the pitching staff. You can't look at all that and not say A&M's number one or two in the country.
Yeah, no, it's everything we bring back. I mean, we're looking for a closer. Yeah,
Which
maybe
hopefully we
Belina.
find at some point in the season.
Yeah, and we added some
Could
key
happen.
pieces to a roster that was already loaded. Excited for baseball. I have not seen the softball preseason rankings come out
Neither.
yet, but I expect them to be top 10, top 15.
Should be good.
You're returning a good pitcher, and sometimes that's all you need, man. Made
It's a
some
big part.
big, yes, it's some good portal additions, and a team that played really well last year. So again, that's, it's still too cold for me to think about being at the Diamonds, quite
Except
frankly.
February, I'm pumped.
Yeah. Give me another month, and I'll start leaning into it pretty hard. But yeah. So again, exciting stuff happening in the spring. I just wish we could put it together in the fall. Now, volleyball did their part,
They did.
but yeah, just the big albatross around the neck right now is still football.
Sure.
So.
Okay. We have two questions.
Oh boy.
Let's fire them in there. First and foremost, Jive Coach G.
They
Hi, baby.
finally this home bitch in there.
Hi, baby. Missed you. Hope you had a great Christmas and got to hang out with your family and all
Who is
that.
this?
This is Jive Coach G.
All right, so we're getting Premier League questions.
Close. Obligatory. I love this is how he starts it. Obligatory soccer questions.
There you go.
Okay, number one, are you watching the FA Cup matches this weekend? And number two, the Vancouver Whitecaps are up for sale. Price is estimated to be just over $500 million. Would you buy and move somewhere else, or would you do something else with your $500 million?
All right, which one do you want to start with?
Let's start with the FA Cup.
It's pretty easy for me. If I've got time, I'll watch it. But quite frankly, I've got a lot coming up this weekend. FA Cup is not anywhere near on my radar. There's actually there's event there's an event, excuse me, at Grand Station this weekend if you're local. It's Friday and Saturday. It's Special Olympics. It's a big bowling event.
Nice.
If you've got time, they're still looking for volunteers. I signed up for Saturday. Megan and I both did. So if you got some time, you want to volunteer some of your time to Special Olympics, check that out. If you can't find any links or anything, shoot me a text or send me a DM. Saturday is like 4-hour shift, something like that. So nothing crazy, just hanging out in the bowling alley and just helping out. So I kind of got that on my schedule, and then I don't want to talk about my garage. I've got a couple of closets I had to clean out. Like it's spring cleaning in January for me. So I don't, what about you?
This weekend we have two shows, which we'll see if they happen, because they're both in the Dallas area. And let's just say, if you haven't been paying attention to the weather models, they're
You should have
anticipating
been.
up anywhere between 6 to 12 inches of snow
Oh,
over
it's
the
increased.
over DFW Thursday and Friday. And
Shut it down.
we are supposed to drive into Dallas to go play at the Omni Hotel on Friday. Let me tell you something. That might be a little hairy. We'll see.
You ain't getting there.
We'll see. The question's going to be, does the event go ahead and put on? Because it's a private event for Texas Trophy Hunters. They're doing their deal. So we'll see. I mean, those are hunters, you know. They may be just like, screw it, we're doing it. Come on. We'll figure it out. It'll be
Well, yeah, but
we'll figure it out. But
I almost got stuck in Dallas 1 year in bad weather. I barely made it out. I was sliding all over the freeway, so I finally got
I
south of the
really
system.
hope that that's not the case for us.
No.
But in terms of matchups for the FA Cup, we'll just talk about our three since they're all relevant. So you have Aston Villa hosting West Ham on Friday. And then you have let's see, it's Liverpool is hosting Accrington Stanley.
What a tough draw.
Woo. Yeah, what a tough draw. And then
Hey, Villa's drawing much harder.
you
We
got
suck.
Notting they have Nottingham, Nottingham Forest is hosting Luton Town.
Luton.
Luton. I
Luton
always say
Town.
Luton. Luton. Luton
Obviously,
Town.
obviously Liverpool's gonna win. All right, is Liverpool and Forest both on Saturday? Yeah. I think Luton, or excuse me, not Luton, Liverpool and Forest, I don't think I have any problem with their matches. I mean, the FA Cup can get weird sometimes,
They
but
can.
barring an injury or some sort of weird card, like early red card, I can't see anything affecting those matches. I don't think there's any chance West Ham can keep it close to Villa. West Ham have just looked like absolute shit the last four matches. I think we've given up 18 goals in the last four matches, something like that.
Poor Accrington Stanley is currently 19th in English League Two. You're talking fourth tier, bottom of fourth tier.
Yeah, no, that's about as lucky as a draw as you can get.
God.
I think Villa got screwed just because even though, they're gonna beat us,
It's gonna be a tough matchup.
they're gonna have to work at least to beat us a little bit.
Right.
Where is that matchup?
It's at Aston Villa.
Is that Villa Park?
At Villa Park, yeah.
Yeah, West Ham don't have a chance. But yeah, so I think a Liverpool and Forest will get through though.
Okay.
Absolutely. If West Ham get through, it's because Villa missed the bus to the stadium.
We'll see. I'll
Like
tell you,
literally.
anything can happen through the power of prayer. Anyway, Vancouver Whitecaps, once again, are up for sale.
Yeah.
$500 million. Would you buy them and have them there, buy them and move them, or not even worry about it?
For those of you that are actually still listening and aren't soccer fans, Vancouver Whitecaps are the oldest MLS franchise in the US and Canada. Started in 70, 73, some crap like that. You couldn't have, I wouldn't spend $500 million on an MLS club anywhere. Like that's my thing. And first of all, like I and that's the problem is They can be the oldest club in the MLS and still nobody cares because the MLS is a watered down where retired Premier League and Bundesliga and La Liga players go to finish out their career just to live in the States, make some extra money on top of things, and still be better than the majority of the product that Americans are putting out.
Right.
And so, I mean, if you took away the option of not buy them, so if I had to buy them and either leave them or relocate them, I would buy them and relocate them because nothing good needs to be in Canada.
Fair.
Yeah, I don't know where I'd relocate them, but I think, I mean, I'm sure I could find a city.
Well,
Because what? I mean, Austin FC, you know where I'd drop them? I'd probably drop them in San Antonio.
and that's exactly what I was about to say, because here's the problem. San Antonio has been fighting for an MLS team for years, and then they just drop a brand new franchise in Austin. Oh, they were pissed in San Antonio, which I don't
Oh,
blame them.
there's enough rabid sports fans in San Antonio. If you don't believe that, just watch Spurs Twitter, or
Well,
X. The San
and
Antonio Spurs, not the other one.
yeah, not come on, you Spurs, like go Spurs, go. That's
Not White Hart Lane garbage.
no.
Yeah, if they're reposting pictures of a plush coyote, then you know you're on the right Spurs feed.
Yeah,
But
that's
yeah,
it.
I mean, if I had to pick one of those two, like if I had to buy them, I'd relocate him and drop him in San Antonio.
I agree with you on that one completely. But once again, I would not spend $500 million on that. I would take $500 million and put it towards a music venue in this town and use the rest of the money to just do whatever I want. That's what I would do if I had five
Yeah,
hundred
I mean,
million
I wouldn't spend $5 million on an MLS franchise.
dollars.
Sorry, and I know people are super loyal to their teams, you know, locally, but
Sure.
it's just until they start putting out a better product on the field.
Which
Although,
will.
can we talk about how the best back and best left was left back, right? In the entire Premier League is American.
Yeah.
Yeah, Bronny brought that up to me a week or two ago, and I was like, I had to think about it. So I started watching a couple. Robbins is no joke, man.
Nope. Pretty darn
So.
good. Second one, and this is a wishful thinking deal, but from our buddy Garrett Smith, he asked,
Wow.
which NFL team would hire Sark and which cemetery should they park at? Asking for Del Conte.
Nice. So nice. Did he tag Del Conte? Oh,
Course he did.
beautiful.
What a man.
Quick tangent. Do you see Hartzell's leaving the Sips to go be president at SMU?
I did.
SMU stole the Texas president. I got to be honest. I can't say in the Sips. It's hard for me to say nice things about him. But quite frankly, I'm happy to see him leaving because he's done a lot of really good things for Texas.
Oh
So
yeah. Well, and
I'm
see
glad.
that was a curious question. Is that the first domino of the whole situation?
I don't know. I just thought it was amazing because, dude, if I was an SMU alum, the amount of trash I'd be talking about, the fact like, what, you're Texas? Whatever, we're SMU, we just stole your president. Like a president going from Texas to SMU is like a head coach going from Texas to SMU. Like it doesn't
It
make
wouldn't
sense.
make a lot of sense. Yeah.
There's got to be a gold Trans Am in there somewhere.
Yeah.
So who do I think would hire him, or where would I
Yes.
like him to go? Jerry Jones would make that hire because I don't think it's a good hire.
Oh. I know it
God.
wouldn't be a good hire, which is why I want it to happen.
Yeah.
But you know, I'm not a Cowboys fan, so it really doesn't matter to me. Anything that can screw over Texas and not affect me personally, I'm okay with.
I can maybe see the Patriots.
Yeah.
Yeah, I
See
can
that.
maybe see the Patriots because they can their guy. Niners coach isn't going anywhere. Yeah, a DC coach obviously isn't going anywhere.
No.
Ravens coach isn't going anywhere. Yeah. I mean, if he gets hired to the NFL, it's gonna be the Cowboys because it's a bad decision.
Did you see this dream scenario that was concocted on Twitter the other day?
I'd love to see him go to Cleveland.
Oh, could you imagine? Paul Hernandez, this is what he had to say. He said, Jerry Jones, so here the dream scenario. Jerry Jones parts ways with Mike McCarthy on the day of the Cotton Bowl. Two, Texas loses in a heartbreaker to Ohio State. Three, Sark calls a young journalist selfish for asking questions about his
I'd say
departure.
you can't miss that step.
Four, Jerry meets with Sark at Six Flags parking lot. Five, Sark is named the Cowboys head coach. And I said, as a bonus, number six, Quinn Ewers ends up transferring to Ohio State for $6 million.
We're going to talk about coming full circle.
Yeah. Like I said, I think that would be the dream scenario.
Well, to me, the dream
That would
scenario is
inflict the
what happened.
most pain.
Well, like whatever happens at Texas, he just leaves wherever he goes. Somebody
Wherever
hires
you're.
him away. Yeah, I mean, and yeah, there's see him ending up in Chicago, right? Like, just think about the bad franchises this year.
Yeah.
Chicago, if they can ever get their offensive line right, I think Chicago's got the right quarterback. I do.
I mean, they did beat the Packers.
Not everybody agrees with me, but I think the Cowboys or Cowboys, excuse me, the Bears have the quarterback. If they keep him on his feet, a guy like Sark could take the Cowboys a long, long way.
Yeah.
And that's trying to be like as unbiased as possible. So I could see him going to like a nightmare like the Bears, because the Bears have just kind of been nightmarish, over the last. It's so weird to see the Bears bad, right?
Sure.
And so bringing somebody in that it can affect an offense, make the offense vertical, a lot of different stuff that's still easy for the quarterback, but it's confusing for a defense. If the Bears are capable of, between drafting and free agency, putting together an offensive line, maybe pick up a weapon. They don't have the greatest receivers in the world, but they'll do kind of thing.
Yeah.
I mean, I could see Sark ending up with the Bears, and if it works, it works. If it doesn't, it doesn't. Bears, Jets, Patriots.
Yeah. I mean, I could see any of those teams. And, Dallas Cowboys are not short on that list either. I could see that.
But I think he would have to go somewhere with a younger quarterback. I think that's a better
Right.
fit as opposed to going somewhere with a veteran quarterback who's not going to listen to him.
Well, and I think I have to look at this situation from one of two perspectives, because if you saw what Del Conte said about the whole shebang, I think this tells me one of two things. Either A, he's trying to play a little prevent defense for the media, kind of like we saw about our whole situation with Sloss, or B, this is Sark's,
Agent
agent
getting him a
trying to.
raise.
Yeah, trying to stir him up and give him a raise, which, if we're being perfectly honest, option B is probably the most likely scenario.
Yeah, I feel like it's more like, because here's the one thing, and this is where, had this person not said it, I would have just passed it off as stupid. But when Adam Schefter comes out and says things, that dude verifies, re-verifies, and then triple verifies his sources. And so part of me thinks that it might be Sark's agent doing a little bit of both. Shopping him to the NFL, but also if that doesn't work out, knowing that that could end up in a raise,
Yeah.
because he's making what, a little over 10 million a year right now at Texas, and that another 4 million a year, 3-4 million a year to be an NFL coach with no recruiting, no transfer portal, no shit, like none of that
Just
crap,
player development.
just player development and people listening to you because you're the head coach.
Yeah.
That's it. And so
Well, and
I think he could be successful at the NFL level,
yeah.
but more importantly, I would just love to see him leave Texas.
Right, just because that would be just a nice little feather in the cap to kind of
Lose
wrap.
Ohio State in 24 hours, be holding up a, putting on a hat at a press conference.
I wouldn't cry about it. I don't think any Aggie would cry about that. I know
Yeah,
plenty of
that's.
people 90 miles west that would cry about it, but we're not one of them.
And I'm looking at it through, I guess I got a ghost here. I'm looking at it through maroon shades, and I get that. But if you're listening to this and you don't get that, then you must be new here. I'm
This is
looking at it
the.
through maroon shades, but I'd love to see him leave, quite frankly. He's been a really good coach for him, and I don't think he's the greatest coach on the planet, but he's doing what he needs to do with the roster that they bought him.
Yeah.
No, I mean that's the reality in college football. I'm not saying
Truth.
Texas anything dirty. It's all fair. It's all
It's
fair.
truth. It's fact of life. That is college football now. You buy your rosters, whether you like it or not. That's the
Yeah,
way.
but then, but it's still on the coach to be able to keep that roster together and get them to play together. And I mean, look at the seniority they have on the offensive line at Texas. So
Excellent.
that's a huge one. It's like us talking about Aggie basketball. I mean, do you see any rosters in the nation with this much experience?
Not a lot, no.
So it's, yeah,
It
and
has its benefits.
that'll be interesting to keep an eye on. And my only reason for it is really because Adam Schefter is the one that reported it.
Right, which means there may actually be a little bit of smoke there, but
There
we'll see
might
what
be a little
happens.
bit more smoke than Texas is willing to admit.
Sure. So we'll see
So,
how that all plays out. How's everything looking coming up?
no, man, it's just work as usual. It's getting into the new year. Yeah, it's just getting into my business plans. You know, and Christmas, you know, well, obviously they fall on the same day of the year every year, but Christmas, New Year's isn't like on a Wednesday.
Right.
All of a sudden, the second, third, fourth, and fifth, it feels like it should be a super long weekend.
Right.
I did some texting and calling on Thursday and Friday and got zero responses. So I was like, yep, I'm done for the weekend. If nobody wants to play, then I'm not going to play.
I'm chilling.
Yeah, but you know, yesterday's kind of getting back into it, get back in the grind. I got a lot of exciting things happening this year. I'm expanding my business to clean.
Yeah. Oh, that actually leads into a question I was going to ask. What is your big goal for 2025? I know we don't do resolutions, but I want to know what your goal is. Like, if you could have one thing happen this year, you will be a happy camper.
Yeah, if I expand my business into clean and
Yeah.
bring in one agent that's there into our brokerage as kind of like for me to establish a remote team for BRG, so I don't have to drive back and forth to Killeen a million times. That's my big professional goal. It really is.
Hell yeah. Yeah, I love
Yeah,
that.
it's a little bit of a stretch, but I mean, I was doing stuff up in Nacogdoches, and that's actually closer.
Right. And see,
So,
it's just having the, just getting the goal set, right? And if you can
yeah.
accomplish it, why not?
Yeah, that's my huge thing this year, and obviously continue to do everything here in the Brazos Valley. This is the
This
addition
is
of the,
home.
yeah, that won't affect my business here. It's just trying to expand myself geographically, and it's an army town, and I'm an army guy. Like I should fit in, you know.
Exactly. And I mean, I think the fact that you are a vet of your caliber, I think that's a selling point for people.
Yeah,
I don't
the
think they hate.
marketing is easy. The reality is, I think a really large number of realtors in army towns are army spouses.
Sure.
Well, they have to move every 3 years, so there's not a ton of continuity. So it's trying to insert myself as somebody who's not going anywhere. I've been in the army. I get it. I get it. I get it. And it's a market where you ain't got a choice. If the army says you're moving, you're moving.
You're gone. Yep. You receive orders.
You're selling the house whether you want to or not.
That's
What about you?
Oh, so my big goal for 2025. Honestly, and this is just you can call it a professional goal because it is music related. But if I had one goal for the year, I want to dethrone Ranch Girl Dream from our top five. I don't want it to be the number one song on Spotify by the end of the year. I pray two, potentially three of our songs off of this new record are in
Catch
our
on and
top
bump it.
five.
Bump it.
That bumps it down because what that tells us is people are starting to move with us in the musical direction that we're heading.
As
And
opposed to the like your song.
right. And don't get me wrong. I love Ranch Girl Dream as a tune. Anybody who's heard it does enjoy it, but it is, I hate to put the term on it, but kind of a cliche love song. And it's a good love song. And
Well, I think
it
even if you just step back from the song itself, like you said, this is people waiting for you to put out new music and actually listening to the album.
Right.
That's the
And
biggest indicator.
yeah, and we want to get people to listen to this new record. And so leaning into 2025, we have a much better plan leaning into this record. So we talked about it last year, potentially August, all this other fun stuff. We decided to hold off on all that. And the reason we pushed it off was because there was obviously some turmoil within the band in terms of memberships. We lose a drummer at the end of May. We fire a guitar player by the end of August, and all of a sudden, we've made a couple of personnel changes, a couple little adjustments, and at this stage in time, we have set ourselves up for success in terms of members in the band. All five of us on stage are very accomplished at what we've done and are very good at what we've been able to put together. I think the biggest thing for me is the fact that we've been able to take songs that were recorded and play them exactly to the record, which is a big step up because when people want to come listen to you, they've only heard you on Spotify, Apple Music, YouTube, wherever. They've only ever heard you in those worlds. If they come to a live show and all of a sudden all the songs just sound way different because you've had to make adjustments, it dilutes the experience for them.
Well, that's always been my opinion. If you're a good musician, you sound not the exact same, but you are damn close live as you are recorded. I think that's one of the things that made
Right.
Rush so amazing.
Well, and I think the thing that you can do with it to make it work is, make subtle, slight changes, like some slight pushes, some slight hits here and there that just enhance for a live setting. I think that can work, which is what we're very much looking forward to with this, with this next round on the record, because none of these songs outside of Rope the Moon have been played live. And Rope the Moon is pretty much exactly like the record. And we plan to play every single one of these songs to the record, as well as old songs that we've already been doing. So just a lot of little adjustments here for the live show. And it's a good unit. I like all five guys on stage. We are busting our butts. We're working hard. Carson's got the baby, which has led to obviously some shenanigans in terms of him making it to shows on time. But we are making it work because this is what we're trying to do. And
Good stuff.
the plan of attack is likely album release end of March. And in
Wow.
all likelihood, the actual release party will be here in town. I will have more details as we get closer.
Yeah, as we get closer, we'll put that stuff out. We'll make sure you guys don't miss.
Absolutely.
Before we close out, this is the plug I wanted to
Yes.
mention. So Friday, February 7th, it's at Brazos County Expo. It's from 6:30 to 9:30 p.m. It is a lot of people probably heard of this. It's called 50 Men Who Can Cook. So it's a huge fundraiser for the College Station ISD Education Foundation. And it's 50 different booths cooking all kinds of different stuff. A ticket, you can eat as much, all the different stuff. It's $100 to get in. I'll be selling tickets if anybody wants to go. You can just reach out to me. There's raffle tickets that are $100. You can win one or two things. It's a $5,000 shopping spree from David Gardner's or a private dinner experience at the Republic. And then but yeah, it's a great way to be able to give to the local school district. They raise a ton of money for it. And what the kind of the how it is the teachers all over CSISD put in these grant requests, is a nice way to put it. I need this for my classroom, or this is, it could be something technological, it could be supplies and stuff that they need to teach what they want to teach. And they put in these grants, and then all this money raised, they just start paying off the grants for these teachers. So they're allowing these teachers to make their classrooms better in College Station ISD. So
Awesome.
that's a big one. I'll probably plug that once, every podcast between now and then. But I'm cooking. Yeah. So myself and one of my teammates is cooking. We got to get some clarification, but probably looking like we're gonna do two things. I'm gonna do my chili, and he's got a smoked ham potato soup. So like soups and chilies is the same category. So if they'll allow us, I think we're gonna put that together. But yeah, come see us the booths. Like a lot of them will do like themed booths, and but it's a really great cause. And again, if you want to do any volunteering on Friday or Saturday this week at Grand Station, reach out to me. I'll get you the link. It's obviously
Absolutely.
another one for a great cause.
Absolutely. Be sure to go check those out, of course. And we will once again highlight this event on the next several podcasts heading into it. Be sure to follow us on our socials. That's Rob the Slapper 14 on Instagram, Twitter, all that fun stuff. Or just Rob the Slapper. If you look that up, you'll find me. If you look up Roy May 15 or Roy May Jr., you will find him on Twitter, X, and Instagram. And
And
of course,
when we forget announcements, whether it's about the band and music or it's about like this kind of stuff, check out our socials, because this
yeah,
is the
of
stuff.
course.
If it's important enough for us to say it, then chances are we're going to put it on social.
Yeah, and we'll definitely post. And if you want to keep up with me, be sure to go check out my page. Be sure to go check out Roy. We are more than happy to do that. And I'm just want to say thank you guys so much for powering us through the year of our Lord 2024. It was not an easy year. In fact, it was a bit of a slog for me. I know it was definitely a difficult year, but we've powered through it. We're into 2025. Things are looking up
We
across the board.
get to turn the calendar, man.
You know.
And quick side note, we got a new calendar in the kitchen.
Ooh.
It's dogs pooping in beautiful places.
I love that calendar, man. I'm seeing it
Pretty excited
around.
about it. Yeah, it's fantastic.
I may have gotten the Paige Sporadic calendar from mine. Don't worry. Don't look into it. It's fine. I like golf.
I will say I took a bunch of pictures from our trip overseas to Europe and made a calendar for my parents and for Megan's dad. So
That's sick. Cool.
Yeah, it turns out that one, Walgreens is super easy to deal with, and two, my phone takes killer pictures.
Heck yeah. That's good.
So,
Well, once again, folks, we thank you so much for listening in. I am Rob White. This is Roy May. Thank you so much for listening to the Red Ass Podcast. We will see y'all next time. Beat the ever-living hell out of everybody. Thanks, Yegum. Have a wonderful rest of your week.